What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Thursday. We are officially over the hump. Hey, Claude, how are you doing?
Hey, Jax. Doing well. Sitting at home.
Yeah, we're back at home, you guys. Another audio-only episode because we were having a bit of studio issues today. So we were like, yesterday's audio was just so premium.
So premium.
So we are back doing it from home, which means two things. It means one, it's another day that Brew did not come into the office.
And honestly, so I think that you started all the drama at the studio today just because you did not want to bring Brew, because you are now a week overdue.
So add that to the list.
Brew.
We're now 6 days without Brew, so keep count. But the second thing that it means is that technically Brew is here with me. He's laying on my bed on my heating pad like an angel and just giving me the joie de vivre that I need to deliver you this episode.
Sure. That's a loophole.
I mean, you should see this man.
He's literally gorgeous.
Gorgeous. How's Dew?
Stunning, beautiful, smart, all of the above.
What's he up to? What's he getting into today?
Just got back from his walk. Today I'm podcasting in the bedroom and I had to lock him out because sometimes if I lock him in, he'll spend the whole time we're podcasting scratching on the door and then like I won't get my deposit back. You know, he has to stop scratching the door. Mm-hmm. So he's probably feeling abandoned by his mother.
Got it. And why can't the door just remain open?
Because Ben is outside being loud. So like it would be, I don't think the microphone would pick it up, but like it would be very distracting for me and then I couldn't deliver the Fast Five with the joie de vivre that I usually do.
No, that is very, very fair. I lack Brew in I never even thought about it. But yes, my door is shut and Brew is locked in.
Yeah, and so after years of research, I've decided that the best thing to do when podcasting from home is locking him out, which is just so sad.
That is so sad. Damn, it's a bad day for Dew.
It's a bad day for Dew that Dew.
Dew da da Dew.
But actually,
Brew perked up.
Oh, yeah, by the way, you can't do that like little singing voice around the boys because they like think it's their calling, like it's time for dinner or something.
Yeah.
So like when we're on the phone, we'll just FaceTime each other and we'll be like, what's up? And then the other person will be like, boop, da-doo. And like the dogs go wild.
We them boys.
We making noise. Yes.
So I brought your gift home and it's sitting right here next to my vanity. Just perched up, and that's what happens when you bring gifts home from the studio.
Oh, I thought you meant the gift that you had for me that you said is coming. I thought you, like, brought it to the studio and then had to bring it home.
Oh, no. Still hasn't arrived. That's how custom it is. Ooh. I don't know when it's coming. It probably will be here in, like, September, honestly.
For real?
That's how custom and special it is.
September?
That sucks. Yeah, I mean, I know. You know what? I'll check in on it, but I just... It'll get here when it gets here. Nothing could take longer than the Maverick t-shirt.
Oh, really? Does Logan Paul not have good shipping?
Well, no, he's just so in demand. I ordered it the night of his fight.
Mm.
And then you guys saw when I gave it to you. Like, there were 6 weeks later.
So probably, like, the advertising on the fight, like, was so successful. Like, he probably ran out of stock.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was madness. But I was patient. It was worth waiting for. It was worth the wait.
Speaking of things worth waiting for, the second episode for Patreon is up. I put it up yesterday. It's a vlog. And it's kind of a vlog all about Spritz. I obviously vlogged the party and, you know, tried to get as many famous people in it as possible. But also, like, the days leading up, like, some of the work we were doing. And people...
Honestly, it's a really cute video. Like, you and Ben getting, like, so excited about all the, like, you'd like with the website and... It's just really cute to watch. It's always fun when I get to watch like a vlog that you made or vice versa, and I'm just like enjoying the entertainment value.
Yeah.
And it's really cool and really sweet. And you do get more behind the scenes info about Spritz and how it all came about. And it's been really awesome. Speaking of Spritz, don't forget to head over to spritzsociety.com/toast or just use the discount code toast to get a discounted variety pack so you can try all flavors of Spritz.
By the way, like, people's orders, like, will be arriving today. Like, if you live near, like, one of the warehouses, because most of them shipped out yesterday. And I was saying in the vlog, like, isn't it so crazy that we, like, started this brand? It's kind of how, like, Kim sells perfumes on the internet. Like, nobody's tried Spritz. They're just, like, you know, in good faith, like, we are women of taste. Like, if we like it, they'll like it, too. And I just can't believe, like, literally people are finally going to try it. Like, we've literally sold this thing and nobody even tried it.
No, I'm so excited for people to try it because they're going to love it even more. And it's just going to be so fantastic. Everyone can have, like, Spritz up their weekends. It's going to be a spritzy weekend.
No, and honestly, like, the toasters make amazing content. I'm like, we literally are going to have so much content for days.
Yeah, it's really true. What are you doing this weekend?
You know, I don't know. That's a really good question. I'm kind of, like, teetering between, like, wanting to do nothing and just wanting to, like, throw caution to the wind and jump off a cliff. But I just have no, I don't know which cliff I would go to.
Interesting. No one's invited you to their cliff.
Yeah, if you have a cliff or, like, a house on the beach, like, let me know.
Yeah. No, I totally feel that. I think it's going to be another weekend in bed with Brew.
Which is really nice, but, like, when we podcast from home, I pretty much work from my bed. Like, I don't even make my bed because I get out of bed.
Yesterday was a disgusting day for me.
Yeah, like, I get out of bed, I podcast, and then I get back in bed, I upload the podcast, I edit Patreons, I answer emails. So, like, it really is, like, a weekend. So, I don't know, I've had, like, a relaxing 2 days, and I might be ready.
No, I feel that. I get really bad schvilkis when I'm actually just in bed. And so even when I have a weekend where I'm in bed Saturday, Sunday, by Monday, I'm, like, ready to go.
Yeah.
So after, like, these days of doing podcasting from home, I could feel like I would be ready to go. I really need to take Brew to the country. He keeps looking at me like, Mom, can we please go to a bucolic vibe? And I'm like, Brew, who taught you to speak like this?
Well, you know what? He's a victim of circumstance. He had to get in the dictionary and find a word that so accurately describes what he's looking for. And until I learned the word bucolic, which was... It was in an article we were reading. Do you remember what article it was? I'd be so curious to remember.
No.
Mm. No. Well, anyways, that word has, like, really changed my life.
Yeah, it really, really has. And it's just, it's changed my life probably for the negative because I'm now, like, always seeking out something that I don't have.
No, and, like, the anti-bucolic nature of our current lives has never been more apparent.
Disgusting. It's disgusting.
That sounded like a sentence that would be in, like, someone's dissertation. The anti-bucolic nature of our lives has never been more apparent.
Of our current lives.
That is literally, like, the theme of my life.
Yes, the anti-bucolic nature of it all.
And, by the way, I want to tell everyone, like, I was, I'm still searching for apartments because I will see the snow by Christmas. And last night I actually found an apartment that doesn't have everything I want, but it's pretty fucking close. And it was
so you should vlog this journey.
No,
so
it's
like,
too depressing.
So no, but like, listen, just hear me out on the vision, on the directorial debut. It's like a little Hallmark movie, like will Claudia see the snow at Christmas? And it ends, hopefully, with you watching the snowfall in your new apartment.
Or it's like me on the first snowfall in New York, like in my current bedroom, like crying.
Yeah, no, it'll be a tragedy in that case. But like still, you should be taking us on the journey so that if there is a happy ending to this story, like we have a major motion picture.
Okay, but the thing is that this would be a very boring vlog because literally all I do is lay in bed on Street Easy. And then last night I found one that I actually liked. It was on the market, joined yesterday. I emailed, like, can I please come tour? And literally as we're sitting here, I got a notification that the apartment has been rented.
Damn.
And it was like a good price. It was too good to be true.
But I do think that these sort of hurdles are going to be really good for the movie because it's
for
like
the plot.
She was so for the plot, like, these are plot devices. You have to look at it that way.
No, I can't. Like, I'm so upset. But also, like, I need to be a little patient because everyone knows, like, the summer is the worst time to look for an apartment because all these post-grads moving to New York, like, it's just...
I just want to say, okay, wait. I just want to say one thing because that is, like, the narrative. But you are no longer looking for the same apartments as post-grads.
Of course not. Like, I'm a lady. Of course. But still, it's just the worst. It really is, especially now with COVID, like... It is, I think, the worst rental market in history for renters, not for people who own apartments. Like, I should rent, I should buy an apartment and rent it because that's the only way I'll be able to afford what I really want, okay?
Yeah, and but so, then you actually, but with the eviction moratorium, you might not get your rent paid.
Okay, whatever. All, okay, you're taking this too seriously. All I'm saying is that I do think I should be a little bit more patient and wait like about a month. But I'll still be checking, but I'm not getting anywhere before October. And that's something I'm going to have to just kind of live with.
Okay, well, hopefully it doesn't snow in October.
Shit.
It's not going to.
Is it going to be unseasonably cold in October?
No. I mean, snowfall in the city in October is really unheard of. Because remember when it snowed in November for the Divine Diversion and, like, the city, like, couldn't handle it because the trees got too heavy? Like, and that was crazy. And that was, like, November 13th-ish.
You know, I have actually blocked out that night from my memory because it was such a terrible time.
It was a deeply, deeply terrible time. And I, when I was on my rerouted journey through Tennessee and we got to Nashville and, like, Nashville was, like, our, you know, when we got there, it was, like...
Haven.
Ah. Yeah, it was, you know, we were so stoked to be there. But then we passed the gate that we sat at for the Divine Diversion. Oh. I was like, this is an imperfect airport. Like, I know we're putting all of our eggs in this Nashville basket, but I have trauma.
Okay, first of all, if you're new here and you don't know what the Divine Diversion is, I implore you to go find our episode of the Divine Diversion. But second of all...
It's 2019, and it's like...
November.
Like I said, November 12th, 13th-ish.
So, literally, I cannot fly in and out of the Nashville airport without passing that gate where we were diverted, and it's right next to the Delta Sky Lounge. It is so filled with trauma, and I, for some reason, I guess because I always fly Delta into Nashville because it's so easy, LaGuardia to Nashville, I cannot enter that airport without walking past it, and it is so triggering. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah, so I, like, didn't want to tell the group, like, Nashville might not be our saving grace, like, we could end up in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. but I didn't want to bring the group down, and luckily everything worked out in Nashville, came through for us.
When we were in Pittsburgh, is there a moment that stands out to you? Because, like, for me, when we took the escalator down and we headed to our Uber and this, like, it was a, I remember, like, bright, bright red car, and I see him, like, pulling, first of all, it took, like, 20 minutes to get an Uber, and we're standing in the snow, and I see him approaching, and he opens his trunk and we're putting our bags in, and I just, like, turn around at this blizzard in this random city that I've never been to, and I've never felt lower in my life. Like, that moment, like, was so transformative for me. Is there a moment that sticks out for you?
There is, and it's when we got to the hotel, which was really beautiful, and it was a really nice hotel, and so I'm not gonna put them on blast or anything.
They were great.
There
was a jazz trio in the lobby.
There was, and it was all decorated for Christmas, and I guess, like, I've never been to Pittsburgh, that I think I haven't, and it was all decorated for Christmas. It was, like, very Hallmark, and they made us feel very welcomed, and so we were riding a small high.
Are you talking about the food?
When we got to our rooms, and we ordered room service, yeah. And I ordered spaghetti, and it had a hair in it. And for me, that was a low point.
No, I feel that. That'll do it.
That'll do it.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I had forgotten about that. Because, like I said, I blocked this night out in my head. And if I ever go to, like, my camera roll, oh my God, I'm sure it's just full of trauma.
Yeah, no, it's really bad. So if you guys aren't familiar with our Divine Diversion experience, and I mean, I guess we didn't keep in touch with anyone from the flight, but I do wonder if anyone fell in love.
Wait, also, the real trauma of the whole day...
Was the next morning.
Like, we got diverted to Pittsburgh, and we had to stay in a random hotel, and then we finally, we're the first flight out. It was, like, 8 a.m. We woke up so early, we get to the gate, and I guess, like, Delta forgot to staff the flight because nobody had told, like, flight attendants or a pilot, like, that we needed to get to New York. So we're sitting there, where they're like, oh, we don't have any staff. And we're like, what? Oh my God. And then we sat at that airport for, like, another 6 hours waiting for flight attendants.
Yeah. Like, sitting there with our morning breath. I remember that it was the day that the Greatest Showman Reimagined album came out. And I thought that listening to it would cheer me up, but now it's just, like, full of negative associations, you know?
Oh my God. That was the craziest day. And I guess it's, like, not that crazy. Like, people get diverted all the time.
No, like to have to go to a city you've never been to and like get a hotel.
No, when
really
you're just
crazy.
Like two young steens, like we were just, and we didn't have like Olivia there. Like if Olivia was there, it would have been better. Like she would have fixed everything.
No, she, no offense to Olivia, but like there was nothing that could have been done even by her.
No, and but like also, Jackie, when we literally were in the sky and they're like, ma'am, we're going to Pittsburgh. And we were like, well, where do we sleep? Like, it was traumatizing. I had to like find a hotel. Like if Olivia would have just done it all for us and she would have gotten us to a hotel that didn't have hair in the food.
Okay, we went to the nicest hotel in Pittsburgh. We, like, there's Uber. We did everything. And at that point, you had a manager who was also, like, helping manage you in terms of, like, these logistics. Like, give us a little credit. We really did the best that we could.
Yeah, so it's sounding like I made all the plans, and that's why you felt safe. And what I'm saying is, like, I wish Olivia was there just to have done that for me.
Sure, I guess. I just feel like, you know, in the age of technology, like, you're never really stranded as long as you have cell service.
That's actually hella true.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what's the other thing I learned? Because, like, I really, I guess I travel a lot, but, like, very, I don't take a lot of, like, one-stop, two-stop flights. Like, I don't find myself in airports a lot at random hours. And I guess I never realized, like, the airports close.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Like, from midnight to, like, 6 a.m. So, like, when we landed diverted in Pittsburgh, it was, like, no man's land. It was actually scary.
Yeah.
Honestly, can we stop talking about this? Like, I'm actually having drama.
Yeah. Okay, let's get into the Fast Five stories so that we can talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yes.
Oh, and also, I watched Siesta Key, so.
Ooh.
You guys, I'm so upset. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. Well, we have
But we're going to have to. No, because Siesta Key was fine because Sam and Juliet were together. But, like, knowing what comes next.
Right,
it was
right.
Foreboding.
Yeah.
It was foreboding. Without further ado, here are the past five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by PayPal. When it's time to pay, why pull out your wallet, open your purse when you probably already have your phone in your hand? And if you carry a big purse like I do and you have two wallets, which is so unnecessary, it can be really dramatic at a register. Well, PayPal QR code payments are now accepted at CVS stores nationwide, so it's super easy to make touch-free payments with your phone. Plus, you get $10 cash back on your first purchase of $20 or more. So when you're running to CVS just to get one thing, you know, you see a bunch of other things you need, and it becomes like a whole journey, and then you have to pull out your wallet. It's just drama at every corner. Now you can indulge, but also get rewarded with PayPal. Because CVS now accepts super easy, touch-free payments with PayPal and Venmo, and you get $10 cash back on your first in-store QR code payment of $20 or more. So I shop at CVS literally once a day. There's literally one on my corner for everything in my house, beauty stuff, and it's just so easy to pull out a QR code. My phone is always in my hand, and sometimes I leave the house with the wrong wallet. Like, don't ask me why. I have two. I'm just a mess. So to get that $10 cash back on your first transaction of $20 or more, head to your local CVS and pay using PayPal or the Venmo app. That's $10 cash back on your first purchase of $20 or more with the PayPal or Venmo app. To see terms and learn about how to get that $10 cash back, go to paypal.com/toast. That's paypal.com/toast to learn more and see terms. And check it out. Like, that's something, a really just an interesting factoid that I feel like a lot of people need to know.
Yes, thank you very much. Are you ready for our first story?
It's a pleasure.
First up, Scarlett Johansson and husband Colin Jost welcome their first baby together. It's baby Joy for ScarJo and Kojo. The Tony winner and her SNL star husband recently welcomed their first baby together. Her rep exclusively confirms to People, and Colin posted on Instagram saying, "It's a boy. Okay, we had a baby, it's a boy, we named him Cosmo."
Okay, I have three things to say. Well, two, actually. Mm-hmm. But three. One, I'm very happy for them. Two, odd parents, fairly odd parents, vina vita na ta na na, hot noose, rubber goose, green moose, driver juice, giant steak, birthday cake, large fries, chocolate shake! Cosmo, okay, like, cute, but, like, literally the fairly odd parents, so let's just get that out there.
That's what people were saying. That song has no business going that hard, by the way.
No fucking business. Honestly, Diplo or, like, some DJ needs to take that and make it into a banger, because if they play that in the club, like, hot noose, rubber goose, green moose, giant juice, giant steak, I would fucking lose my mind.
No, I know. Have you seen that TikTok about that song?
Yes, of course. You sent it to me.
Oh, my God.
Back when you had TikTok.
Back when I had TikTok, those were the sort of arts I enjoyed.
Yeah.
I like the name. I saw in the comments on Morning Toast, like, everyone was like, Cosmo, Fairly Odd Parents. But I actually think it's a really cute name.
Yeah, what do you think they'll call the kid, like, for short? Cosmo? I mean, Kazi. Yeah. Sorry.
No, but what's wrong with calling it Cosmo?
Well, everyone, it. Everyone needs, like, a nickname. And is Cosmo short for Cosmopolitan? Like,
I don't know. But why can't you just call someone, like, their two-syllable name?
Okay, like, okay, we have a child, Michaela. Let's call her Michaela. Have we ever called her Michaela? Her name is Kayla Swift.
That's three syllables. Three syllables.
Kayla. Like,
we call her Kayla, which is two syllables. I'm just saying,
kids get nicknames.
Not when they're two-syllable names.
Lilibet.
Three syllables.
I wanted to say two other things.
Scarlett has a daughter already whose name is Rose.
She does?
Yeah, from her previous marriage. Rose is 7.
Who's Rose's father?
Rose's father is...
Is it Ryan Reynolds?
I don't know. No, it's not Ryan Reynolds. That's what I was looking to find out. Roman Doriak.
Oh, okay. Nobody.
Or Romaine.
Is it nobody? Okay, wait. I have two more things to say. One, like, I do appreciate how they're, like, very low-key, like, no big announcement, but they also don't keep people in the dark. I just, like, hate... Okay, like, I get that he's a funny guy, and I'm a funny gal. Like, I appreciate being funny, but, like, I hate when people, like, have to make everything a joke. Do you know what I mean? Like, joke, 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 joke. And so he posted this, like, carousel, and the second image was, like, please reach out to our publicist, Michael Che. Like, funny, funny, funny. It's just, like, do we have to make a joke now? Like, jokes are funny, like, most of the time, but, like... Always a joke?
I mean, imagine how Scarlett feels.
Oh my god, she probably thinks it's so annoying.
Yeah, that's probably like something that they fight about. Like, totally. You can't take anything seriously.
And then the last thing I wanted to say was, like, ever since they announced their birth, like, on my TikTok, I guess people are just, like, interested in ScarJo, and this clip from his audiobook was, like, being just, like, went viral. Someone posted it, where he's talking about Scarlett, and this is just, like, the 10th time I've been, like, I really want to read Colin Jost's book, and I actually think that, like, is what I might do today.
Oh my gosh, that would be so lovely if you picked up your Kindle again.
I know. I feel like a work-from-home day is perfect for a Kindle.
It really is. I actually started a new book last night. I've been having such a hard time, like, figuring out what to read next. Mm-hmm.
Twilight.
I haven't fallen down any rabbit... Okay. I haven't fallen down any rabbit holes in a while. And I just started The Personal Librarian. It's historical fiction, and I saw it at every airport I was at last week. And it has 4.12 on Goodreads, so... Hmm. And it's about J.P. Morgan's personal librarian.
Oh, that is interesting. You think Sonia's in the book?
No, but maybe we get to, like, his grandson, who right. is Sonia's husband.
Yeah. By the way, this is totally random, but, like, I was thinking, because I think last week they were talking about, she was talking about JP, obviously, and she was, like, I knew he was old, but he's, like, in his late 70s, maybe even early 80s.
So and, maybe it's the son?
No, but I'm just thinking, like, if he passes away... Does Sonia's life change at all? Like, does she get any money? I know her daughter probably gets a ton of money.
She probably doesn't.
But her daughter will definitely, like, help her out, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's, like, something she's banking on. I was just thinking about that because she never talks about that. But, like, when she said his age, I'm like, oh, my God. It could be, like, you know, in the next 5 years.
Yeah. But he also could be a sprightly 77.
So true. He could be, like, a Joan Rivers 77.
He could be, like, Prince Philip.
Right. Oh, my God. Totally. Did you ever finish The Prince?
No, I didn't. I was actually thinking about that. That's why I don't like starting stuff unless I, like, know I can finish it. I, like, started it on a whim, and now I'm, like, just halfway through, and I have to finish it.
It's so good.
Yeah, I know.
There's a musical number.
Wow. Who's singing?
Everyone. It's so good. It's called, like, When Will I Find My Happy Ever After? It's actually, like, a gorgeous medley.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, are you ready for our next story?
Only if it's about chocolate shake!
It's not, but it is about justice.
What does that have to do with chocolate shake?
It doesn't. I said it's not.
No, you said but it is. Like, as if like it's some sort of, like, consolation.
It is a consolation because I think justice is sweeter than a chocolate shake.
Wow, those are fighting words.
Do you disagree?
Let's hear the story. Who's getting justice?
You're... Years in the making, the R. Kelly sex abuse trial gets underway in New York. R&B star R. Kelly, who was a predator who lured girls, boys, and young women with his fame and dominated them physically, sexually, and psychologically, a prosecutor said Wednesday, while a defense lawyer warned jurors they'll have to sift through lies from accusers with agendas to find the truth. Ugh. The differing perspectives came as the long-anticipated trial began unfolding in a Brooklyn courtroom where several accusers were scheduled to testify in the next month about the Grammy-winning, multi-platinum-selling singer whose career has been derailed by charges that have left him jailed as he goes broke. So,
okay, wait, because I watched all of the documentaries and I was under the assumption all of this was taking place in Chicago.
It's here now.
Isn't it?
It might be a different trial.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with you because it was all like happening in Cooks County.
Mm-hmm.
But it's taking place in New York, and I think we are on our way to justice for the girls.
Right, because I remember when the documentary came out, they had gotten some sort of delay, which was supposed to help R. Kelly. Like, his lawyers got him, like, a 7-month push or something, and I guess now is the actual start time. So, he may be, like, you know, less of a hot topic. You know, when the documentary came out, everyone was, like, all abuzz, and now, obviously, like, the news cycle washes out, but, like, I have never stopped thinking about R. Kelly and justice for the girls. And so today, or yesterday, whenever this was, is a great day.
That's what I'm saying.
You are totally right. This is a better story than chocolate shake.
This is sweet. This is sweeter.
Yeah.
I do feel like, you know, some of the buzz around all this has died down, at, you know, because the documentary made such a big splash. But it's important to remember that things are happening. This trial is underway, and we might be seeing some justice for the girls.
I know. And, you know, I have so much, like, excitement and hope that, like, justice will be served. I just, like, really pray that the justice system does not fail the girls. You never know.
Again. Again. It failed them. Remember the last time.
Yeah. So, like, we can't get too excited. We cannot count our chickens before they hatch.
That's true. But the trial's underway, and I wanted you guys to know.
Thank you for letting us know. I actually did not even see that, like, when I was reading, you know, as I do.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's weird. It's been pretty, like,
low-key.
Quiet. Yeah, low-key. Switching gears, are you ready for our next story?
Sure.
Kourtney Kardashian calls out Kim Kardashian over this wild college memory. So the Kardashian girls are fighting over, on Instagram, over, like, what happened when Kim visited Kourtney in college.
Where the hell have I been? I didn't see any of this.
Okay. Kim posted a picture of her and Kourtney from when Kourtney went to the University of Arizona. And Kim wrote, "College years, baby. University Dead. Of Arizona single-handedly stopped me from turning into a wild party girl. I remember visiting Court on campus and being her designated driver. I hated all of the wild parties so much that I stayed home and never wanted to drink or party ever. So thank you, U of A. I was never a student there, but you shaped my life more than you know." And then,
oh my God.
So I saw that post and I was like, oh, that's really funny. And it's just, like, crazy to think about, like, the girls, like, going to college and all that stuff.
And it's crazy to think about that, like, Kourtney is the only one who graduated college. I believe Rob went but did not graduate from Southern Methodist University. Kourtney graduated.
I thought Rob went to USC.
I thought Kourtney went to Southern Methodist University. Somebody went to SMU.
No, I think it's USC and you're just getting your letters mixed up.
No, I'm telling you, just give me 1 second. I know, like, that is, like, a Kardashian fact that I know.
No, I feel really strongly that Rob went to USC. Like, but maybe I'm wrong.
Okay, Kourtney went to Southern Methodist University and the University of Arizona.
Okay, so we're all right.
Yeah.
We all know where Kourtney went. Okay. However, Kourtney commented on Kim's picture that she remembers things a little differently. She said, "I remember feeding you jungle juice and someone else was driving, I won't name names, and blasting Rough Riders." She said, "Maybe I was partying too hard to remember correctly. Anyone else who was there want to chime in?" Then Chloe chimes in saying, "I was there too." She said, "I was there that night too, bitch." And then she posted a picture from the same night that she's in. I guess, like, everyone forgot that she was there. And then Kourtney commented, "The night of the Clow Motion party where we put jungle juice in the water cooler." This is just, like, so
I can't imagine the Kardashians drinking jungle juice.
No, this is just, like, this was a wild ride.
Well, honestly, this is such like a sisterly thing because we all have like, you know, memories that we share and we recall them so differently. And like in my mind and like in your mind, it 100% happened that way. Like nobody's lying, but you remember things differently than other people.
It's true. That's the thing about memory.
It's relative.
It actually is, which is really messed up.
I can't believe I didn't see this. I need to go look at their Instagrams because pictures of them in college, it just doesn't make sense.
No, like, it's literally so crazy. Like, it just takes you back. Remember when you used to visit me in college? I mean, I think it had the opposite effect, but, like, it definitely made you just, like, want to get out there.
I was activated. Like, because I went to NYU. I went to NYU. I had, like, no social life. I had, like, just met Ben, so, like, all we did was hang out together. I literally was the biggest loser in college. And the first time I visited you, I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, fun, but you were a freshman. It wasn't, like, that crazy, but it was, like, cool to be at parties and, like, take pictures for Facebook albums.
Yeah, for sure, but I wasn't, like, so plugged in.
No, not at all. Then I visited you when you were in the townhouse. Remember?
Mm-hmm. So when you were a freshman.
I was a freshman. You had, like, were in your, you know, group, your sorority, and, like, things were getting more lit than usual.
Yeah.
Then there was the time of all times.
Senior year.
You were senior. You were very, like, all of your friends lived on, like, the same hallway in this apartment building. It was, like, so fun. We, like, all stayed in all of their rooms. And we went to that party that, like, literally will go down in history. Oh, wait, but I was also there for another time. Oh, where we took all those pictures that used to be the Toast After Dark Facebook cover photo where Gibson got married.
Oh, yeah, that was, I think you visited me, like, 3 times senior year.
Wait, and then there was also the time we did keg stands.
You came in the spring.
Where I wore that blue sweater.
Three times senior year.
Where I did, wait, I'm sorry. And then Beta Beach where...
That was the townhouse year.
Where I smoked a cigarette and literally had to go home for the night. I had the worst fucking headache of all time. And then everyone was like drunk and I was sober and I like took someone's Jeep and picked you guys up because like...
Wait, and you visited me sophomore year when we went to that 80s party.
That's what I was saying. By the way, 80s parties was also the wedding.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, and,
no,
like...
No, it wasn't, because you visited me sophomore year, and Gibson wouldn't have been getting married until we were seniors.
Okay, it wasn't a real wedding, you guys. It was, like, some stupid fraternity thing.
It was, like, a theme. That was the theme.
Okay, whatever. Like, I couldn't get enough, and, like, for my boring life in New York, like, to go to parties with alcohol, like, I was activated. Like, literally, yeah. And I never in my life really regretted, like, not going to a real school. Like, unless, like, when I was visiting you, I was like, oh my god, this could be my life. Like, this is so fun. And I guess, like, I really justified the years after college where I, like, partied a lot. I'm like, this is my college years. And, like, I'm still in them.
You're still doing that.
100%. And when 100%. people are like, you go out a lot, I'm like, I didn't go to college.
Yeah. No, it's really true. You have a lot of making up to do. But our next story actually is completely related, and it's going to be a bit of Claudia Explains It All, because we need to talk about Bama Rush.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Please explain to us what's going on. I mean, I can put together the details that, like, girls who are rushing at Alabama are going viral for, like, their
stuff. So basically, maybe, like, 2 weeks ago, I was on TikTok and I was getting like all these girls who with Southern accents like doing like my OOTD, like my jewelry's from Kendra Scott, and like for some reason they just kept populating on my For You page, and then all these other people were making content like, is anyone else getting like all these Alabama students like on their For You page? And then like that created more momentum, and then we all just started like, you know, what are they gonna wear today? And then they were all at school early for Rush Week, and a lot of schools participated, but Alabama was the one like people were super invested in. There were a couple girls who got like huge followings from sharing their OOTDs and like their dorms, and it was like so Southern and like sweet. And we were like, oh my god, we love these girls. Like, I wonder which sorority they're going to get into. So once it started to blow up, all the girls who were rushing at University of Alabama, like, started making TikToks because they wanted, you know, the clout, and we needed the content. And so, like, girls who were rushing, girls who were already in sororities, doing the rush, you know, making up dances, like, people were just getting so invested. Then everyone was sharing, like, their own experience at college sororities. And so at University of Alabama, there were a few girls who, like, really were the first to do the OOTDs and, like, became, like, influencers in the space. And one of them was this girl, Michaela, who was so sweet. And, like, she had such a Southern...
Kaylor?
Kaylor. And she had such like a southern accent. So she was saying like, my dress is from Normal. And we're like, what are these stores? Like my skirt is from the pants store. We're like, what is that? So then she's giving us like a tour of the pants stores. Like she was really letting us in on this cultural moment. And then it was like bid day. I don't know all the words, like pref day, whatever. Like,
all, yeah, no, those are the words.
Okay. So she's showing us her OOTDs and we're really rooting for her. And what we're learning about this whole thing is that and I knew this, but not to the extent that I know it now. Like, Alabama sororities are fucking serious. Like, legit. Like, you need to have good grades. You need to have a referral. You can't be, you know, posting on social media with red cups. Like, you have to – it's literally like getting into college again. So it's really prestigious. And this girl, Michaela, was a triple legacy. I forget which sorority. Triple legacy at this one sorority. And she had, like, amazing – you know, she was just, like, everything of the sort. And mm-hmm. – literally, in the middle of rush, there's a rumor going around that Michaela got dropped from every sorority. And I don't know how the rumor got started. I think, and then also at the same time, for some reason, her TikTok got suspended, which happens all the time. Like, you just can't post. You're, like, banned for a few days. So we're like, what the fuck is going on? Like, there was so much tension. And, like, she left a comment somewhere, or she liked a comment saying that she was dropped, thus confirming the dropping. So now all the content's coming out, like, justice for Michaela, justice for Michaela. And as we're waiting to hear from her, somebody finds a video on Old Row, which is, like, one of those, like, college barstool things. A video of her and her friend, and her friend's, like, really drunk in the bathroom, and her friend, like, falls over the garbage can, and it's, like, funny, ha-ha. And this is, like, a direct violation of Alabama protocol, you know? Excuse me. So we're all sharing the video and we're like, is this the video? Is this why she's not been dropped? I mean, that's why, is that why she has been dropped? Finally, a few days later, her account comes back. She does like a live, she makes a couple TikToks and she basically says like, yes, it's all true. Like, I am moving on with my life. I'm so grateful. Now she has like 150,000 followers. She doesn't need the fucking sorority. She's like gonna like, you know, she could drop out of college. Like, she's... grateful for the platform, the opportunity, you know, it wasn't meant to be, but like it was a really huge blow because like we were all rooting for Michaela. And Michaela, I believe she's biracial or I believe she's biracial. So a lot of people were like, you know, and by the way, there's so much history in the University of Alabama sororities, like as early as 2013, where like they were segregated. Like it was national news. And I do believe, I have to do more research, Karen Huger was involved in the movement. So now we're all like, well, Michaela didn't get in the sorority. Like, this is suspicious. So it was just like, it was a journey for everyone involved. And we're on the other side. I still get like a lot of sorority content. Now I'm getting like, you know, tours of people's dorm rooms and like their rooms in the houses of these mansions. And honestly, like that makes me want to go to like a big school with sororities because you see these girls, like they're having so much fun. They're like living with their best friends, but they have like queen beds in their own room and they like share a bathroom. It's like so Delta new.
Yeah.
And it's really been a wild ride.
So everyone is situated in their sororities. They got their bids. And yeah.
And then, like, bid day was just, like, the craziest day. Because, like, at University of Alabama, they, like, literally take the football stadium and, like, all the girls fill it up. And they have assigned seats and there's, like, folders on their seats. And they can't open the folder until, like, the person on the stage says, like, 10, 9, and then 3, 2, 1. Oh, and then they open it and, like, they all film themselves. And they, like, you would think it's, like, they're opening, you know, a paternity test. Like, it's like Maury. They're like, ha! Like, it's just nuts. It's like a culture. It's such a weird culture that, like, I knew nothing about. Of course, like, yeah. From Sydney White. Like, that's my frame of reference.
Right, no, like, we get, like, sorority stereotypes from movies, but, like, it actually sounds, like, even crazier than what we see in the movies.
These girls don't sleep. They don't eat for a week, like... It's actually, like, I'm trying to, like, stay positive, but, like, when I think about it, it's, like, really toxic. But, like, I just want to enjoy it, like, from my perspective. But it's definitely, like, it's definitely not great for the gals' mental health.
Oh, no. Probably not.
And, like, when you want to bid a sorority, like, basically, like, all the girls who are already in it, like, sit in this room. Like really how it was in Sydney White. And they just, like, go through a PowerPoint and it's, like, ugly, fat, big nose. You know, like, they really do that. Like, because I got a lot of DMs from people who, like, graduated obviously and who were like parts of, you know, the team, I don't know, whatever it's called, in the sorority, and they're like, it's horrible.
That's so horrible. It's so crazy how like the cycle just continues, because like at one point you're the person going through it and you're like, yes, you know, this is so wrong, but then eventually you're the person doing it and it's like, Can some people just break the cycle and be like, we didn't like how this felt when we were on the other end. Let's not do it to other people.
No, totally. And I guess there's like some good thing, because I got some messages from people. And like the good thing is that like being a part of it's at some of these schools where it's like really fucking rigorous. You have to have amazing grades like in high school and like in your first semester. So it does keep the girls like on track. But like they control your social media. Like you can get fined. Like it's just so like it's crazy.
Yeah, that is really crazy.
Yeah, so that's where I've been for, like, the last couple weeks.
Well, thank you for explaining it to us. This has just been, like, a fun trip down memory lane.
And just and now never forget, justice for Michaela.
100%. And now it's time for our fifth and final story. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Is it the fifth and final story that's brought to you by Blenders?
Yes, it is.
Fresh from San Diego, California, comes the only sunglass brand we're ever going to wear again. We're talking about Blenders Eyewear, and you're going to be just as hooked as you are when you see how awesome these glasses are. Started by Chase Fisher selling his beachy shades out of a backpack while doubling as a surf instructor on Pacific Beach, and his goal was to create an adventurous, mid-priced eyewear option with the same cool factor as other leading styles. Unlike expensive big brand shades that you've probably lost or smashed in the past, Blenders are actually affordable, so you're not going to cry as much when the inevitable happens. Their team of in-house designers are constantly coming out with new styles, from orange polarized wraparounds, tortoiseshell frames, classic gold arms on black lenses, and it's not just sunglasses, they also have prescription glasses. They have readers, they have blue lights, as well as a snow collection with goggles and accessories. So you can live life in forward motion with Blenders today. So I feel like they really cover all of our bases. Like Jackie loves the goggles. I love the blue light glasses. We both are always needing sunglasses. So it's just your one-stop shop for everything eyes. And it feels great to know that you have a really good pair of glasses that didn't cost an arm and a leg, because things happen. You sit on your glasses. Theo chews your glasses. Like things happen. And Blenders is there for you. So if you want to check it out, but also score 15% off your Blenders purchase, visit BlendersEyewear.com. Enter the promo code TOASTVIP. That's BlendersEyewear.com. Code TOASTVIP for 15% off. Blenders. Rocked with pride worldwide.
I got a sickening pair of shades from Blenders Eyewear. And you know that they were sickening because the snatcher stole them.
She snapped and she's wearing your wrist and stole she snatched your glasses.
Them. Mm-hmm. And she's wearing them in like one of her latest Instagram posts. And she looks like so amazing. Well, she didn't really steal them. I told her she could borrow them because I knew they would look so cool on her.
She's so cool.
But that's how you know that it's good stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, our fifth and final story, Ant Anstead is gushing about his really lovely girlfriend, Renee Zellweger.
Oh my God, this story is just too thirsty for me.
But it's not because it includes Renee Zellweger, it's just so weird. The British TV host gushed about his, quote, really lovely girlfriend in a new interview with Extra, joking that he owes Discovery for introducing them as they met on his new series, Celebrity IOU. He said the show is called IOU. It's actually Discovery Plus IOU. Thank you for your dating service. You can now take me off your database. He's a comedian. So like he's not that we ever thought that they weren't a couple, even though like
possibly be.
I don't know of any stranger thing that's happened, but he's confirming it.
Well, also, there is a few updates in the Anstead Hack Summer Rae El Moussa circle. One
Summer
is that.
Ray.
Not Summer Rae. Heather Rae, sorry. Heather Rae.
Oh my God, I was like.
Summer Rae is like an Instagrammer.
Right. I was like, I didn't hear that part.
No, sorry. Okay, the first piece of news is that Christina Hack bought a $10 million house, and it's like sickening. It's just crazy that like she had $10 million. The other piece of news is that a lot of people think that Christina Hack and her new man, whose name is so unremarkable that I don't know it, but he's like a businessman, people think they're engaged because they put up like a couple Instagram stories and like him and like people close to them posted like a boomerang of them popping champagne, was like, so happy for you. But we haven't heard anything about it, and it's been a week. And I feel like they're too thirsty to like let that opportunity go. So I don't think it's true, but there is a major conspiracy that she would be engaged again, which would just be so crazy.
That would be so crazy.
But I'm just saying it's conjecture.
Okay. I do think she would tell us.
I don't know if we ever followed up. You watched that TikTok of the whole circle, right?
You know, it was a little long.
Okay, basically, Christina Hack's new boyfriend, his sister used to host a podcast with Heather Rae.
Got it.
And of course, like the whole Renee thing, like that's that part, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Who? Yeah, no, it's so fucking crazy.
It's just like my mind hurts.
I know.
This is like the most weirdest, insignificant love rhombus ever.
It's literally a pentagram.
No. I guess so, because there's crisscrosses and stuff.
It's a hexagon. Honestly,
yeah,
it's like an octagon.
Yeah. There's eight players for sure.
Okay, well, those are the Fast Five. Definitely feel as though you needed to know them, but let's just get to the reason we're all here, to talk about last night's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which was very awkward.
Yeah, so the whole episode was pretty much the dinner, but let's just take it from the top where the women finished their conversation, you know, at Sutton's request to talk about how they were feeling about stuff. And I felt like what everyone said, whether they were, like, you know, as hard as Sutton or, like, somewhere in the middle, like, I felt like everyone...
Except,
you know,
for Lisa Rinna.
Right. You could understand how they're feeling that way. And I do feel like in other circumstances, like, you know, getting all the women together and talking about if we want to stand by our friend, like, would be considered kind of shady. But, like, in this situation, like, it's so much bigger than them. And what I do feel like Sutton isn't, maybe she doesn't feel this way, but what I would feel if I were Sutton is, like, obviously there's legal implications and, like, all this stuff that they need to worry about. And as we saw, you know, the Beverly Hills producers, cast, and crew, including them, are being, like, deposed.
Subpoenaed. So yes, like, she wasn't wrong.
She wasn't wrong. But I feel like they are being used in order
to sell a story.
Erica to sell a story.
Totally.
And so they are, that like, so they play a role in that, you know?
Of course. And Sutton's, like, sitting here, like, are we being, like, manipulated to, like, have this story that Erica's saying, which is basically like, Tom was a good guy until 3 years ago. He got into a car accident, had a head injury, and now has dementia, and he's never been the same. And in the last 3 years, he destroyed his firm and destroyed people's lives. When the LA Times article, Crystal, so accurately pointed out, predates 3 years. It's like 12 years ago. The first one is the burn victim, which was in the early 2000s. Like, so you're kind of selling this story. Your lawyers are aligned with it. Tom's lawyers are aligned with it. And you're using the show to do that. And Sutton's like, no, I'm a part of this show too. I don't support this charade.
Yeah. So I understood what Sutton was saying. Of course, when Erica comes and sits down, it's like, wow, are we really going to go and say all of this again?
And who thought it was a good idea to put them next to each other? They should have been sitting across from each other.
Kyle said, I did the seating.
Yeah, no.
She said, and there's place cards.
No, but, like, if Kyle wants to start shit, that's fine. But, like, when you're fighting with someone, you don't sit next to them. You sit across from them.
Yeah, and also, this whole dinner was about talking to Erica, and Sutton was really the ringleader for that. Why is Sutton on the end?
No, it was the worst seating ever. And, like, Dorit was in the seat that Sutton should have been in. And I did kind of agree. The thing was, like, at Dorit's house, like, no one was really agreeing with Sutton at first, and then I think Sutton just started to convey her points, and everyone was like, you know, like, they were being assuaged by Sutton. She was making valid points, and then Dorit kind of got, yeah, like, a little into it, and I think Sutton thought she was going into that dinner with Dorit by her side, but Dorit, like, Erica is scary, so the fact that Sutton was even able to get across most of her points, like, I had a lot of respect for her. Dorit, like, crumbled under the pressure. Like, she did not do a good job of saying how she felt.
Yeah, I do think for me, like, still, it's a matter of, do we believe Erica or do we not? Like, you know, if you have a really long-standing friendship with her, like, you're going to believe the best in her. And so you're going to be by her side because that's, like, what friends do. But the fact that there really is no anger against Tom, and it's, like... And Garcelle was the one who said that. Like,
fuck Tom.
Why doesn't Erica say, like, this man ruined her life, ruined all of these other, like, vulnerable, innocent people's lives. Where is the energy for Tom?
Totally.
And then everyone's like, well, of course we feel like that. It's like, but you didn't ever said it.
No, and they're like, and of course it's really about the victims. Really? Because until Garcelle brought it up, no one was talking about the victims.
Dorit had said it once or twice, but still, like, that's the whole thing here. Like, and I don't understand why Erica isn't taking a... Like, she was already divorcing the man, so it's not
right.
Like this love of her life is now in a hard spot.
Yeah, she, like, refuses to, like, speak ill of him. And honestly, the most shocking part of the episode was that Garcelle's sister has, like, had an experience with, like, a shiesty settlement lawyer.
Yeah.
Which is just so crazy, and, like, I... totally understand her position. But honestly, like, the episode was infuriating for two reasons. One, because, like, Erica was, like, so offended by these questions when they're such rational things to ask. Like, we're around a person who very possibly could have ruined the lives of widows and orphans, and we're not allowed to ask questions, and if we do, we're the bad guy. She was so defensive and, like, so outraged that these questions were even coming her way when they're so valid. So I just thought her attitude sucked.
Yeah.
And by the way, there's no way Lisa Rinna did not tell Erica Jane what she was walking into. She 100% knew. When she was driving up in the car, she took a deep breath. Like, she fucking knew.
100%. I had the same thought. And also, I've read, like, from people sending me and stuff that Erica is an investor in Rinna Beauty.
Yes, I heard that too.
That's just, like, I haven't looked into it myself, but that's not people's theory. They say that this is just fact and it's known and you can go find it out. But again, I haven't checked for myself.
So, like, it's possible that, like, some of the widows and orphans' money.
Lisa Rinna has a lot to lose if Erica goes down. So it behooves Rinna to maintain Erica's innocence.
Of course, but she was being so fucking annoying chiming in. Like, we all love Erica. Like, I love how Garcelle was like, it's not a competition. Like,
right.
Garcelle is so fucking on point. And honestly, like, I respect, like, Crystal for not saying literally anything at the meal because, like, and the thing is, like, the fact that Erica's so offended by, like, Sutton and Garcelle questioning her when, like, they don't know her. They've known her for 1 year. What do they owe you? Like, all these atrocious arguments are coming out. I've known you for a year and I'm just supposed to, like, stand by you without asking a single question?
Yeah.
It's just preposterous. Lisa Rinna was bothering me so much. Like, and
as always,
of course, she is like an Erica stan. So we knew she was going to take Erica's side. I have seen that Rinna Beauty thing. And, like, it's crazy to think about, like, oh, and so the real question here is where did the $20 million come from? What was it supposed to be for? And that's what Sutton said. Like, at the end of the day, like, the thing linking you to all of this is this $20 million deposit. Like, where's it from? And she's like, I know. That's the question. No, it's like, no, answer. We need you to answer it. The question is for you.
No, I guess her argument is that she had no, she didn't go into her own LLC. She didn't run the money there. Like, that Tom ran all of that stuff.
See, so I don't really buy money, that.
If he was moving money from one account to the other, like, she wouldn't know.
I don't really buy that he started her LLC for her.
No, but I just really appreciate Sutton because, I feel like, you know, she's up to speed. Someone has to be, you know, the fact that Kyle didn't even read the article, like, what are you so
come
busy
on?
Like, the, like, it's really, whatever. The fact that Sutton is so up to speed and has the right questions to ask, but also is like, and she said the same thing that we said, which is like, it's possible that Erica didn't know anything. It's very possible. But Erica is so smart.
Clug.
You know, she's the smartest girl in that cast, I think.
Yep.
So how can you be so in the dark?
So of course Sutton is skeptical. We are all skeptical.
Right.
But I do think Kyle kind of verbalized it perfectly because, like, she had this conversation with Erica where Erica was like, you know, it's crazy how fast people leave your lives, like, when things get hard. And Kyle was like, that's not me. I'm here for you. And of course that was before they knew the real, like, the depth of the allegations, the widows and orphans. And Kyle was like, of course, I don't want to be that type of person, but, like, that's if you're getting divorced or if you're being sued.
You lost your money.
Like, it's not about widows and orphans. Like, that's where it takes on it. And all these women want to be here for Erica unless she knew. And she didn't even outright say, like, she wasn't even convincing. Like, I didn't know, you know?
Right.
So I left the episode, like, with a kind of, like, bad taste in my mouth about Erica. And I just, even if she didn't know, I think that her getting, like, so visibly offended and upset at the women questioning her is so unreasonable because they were not asking anything that was really that crazy.
Yeah. And also, like, the fact that there's this weird protection of Tom.
Yes.
I find to be extremely sus.
I also was just disappointed in Dorit. Like, take a side. Don't be, like, flapping your mouth to Sutton and then, like, be spineless in front of Erica. And also, Lisa Rinna, she's so annoying. In her
I know what you're going to say. When she said that Sutton left her spine at home.
Right, which is actually the opposite. Sutton was standing up to Erica, who's just like a heavy hitter in the cast. She's very popular in the cast. She's been on for longer. People loved her before all this. Like, she's scary. Like, so Sutton is
the weak link of the
she's
cast.
She's so awkward. I thought Sutton did a great job. I actually thought she had a very spineful.
Very, very spineful. I totally agree. And also, I sent you the funniest tweet where
you
it's
did.
Like, someone said, like, Lisa Rinna really thought she did something when she said princesses worry about their reputations, queens don't.
What the fuck does that mean?
It means nothing.
And by the way, Sutton is from the South. She's on all these like fancy boards and charities. Like, of course, that's the type of thing like you get kicked off of one of those fancy things for, like being involved in something like this. And I don't think she's being selfish at all for worrying about her reputation. Like, she's a public figure now. She's involved in all these causes. Like, who the fuck would want to be attached to widows and orphans?
Yeah, like the allegations are so atrocious. Mm-hmm. It's not just like, we don't want to be a part of this stain. Like,
right.
Like, when, I mean, I don't even, not to like even think about which one, which allegation is the worst.
Right.
But like, I mean, you think of each one individually and it's so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, there's really no energy for that though, it seems.
Yeah, no, like, they're all just like worried about the wrong thing. They're all worried about like offending Erica when it's like, it's not about Erica.
If they're going to come off as good friends or not.
Right. And like, let's say all this, you know, blows past. And Erica for a time was the most successful from this show. Like, she was in Vogue. She was doing Neiman Marcus partnership. She had her own cosmetic line, her own shoe line. So I think they're thinking like long term, like she'll probably bounce back to that. And if she's the most famous, most popular, she's DJing Coachella, everyone loves her. And she hates me because she remembers that I wasn't there for her. Like, what is that something I want to do? So I just feel like they all have their priorities all fucked up.
Yeah, I agree with that. But not Sutton, Garcelle, or Crystal.
No, and I wish Kathy would have chimed in more because she's just so interesting.
No, or Kathy. She's so interesting. That's what I said. Like, I love everything that... No. I was just echoing what you said. She's so interesting.
I thought you said or Kathy. I'm like...
everything that she said was so on point. Like, mm-hmm. She really added a lot of value.
She's very wise, and people respect what she says.
Yeah, yes. And you can tell she's got her eye on Erica.
And she's having a gorilla.
No, and when she was like last week, she's like, everyone's like, I've known her 5 years. I've known her 3 years. Kathy's like, I don't know her.
Dead. Like, no, Kathy's very, like, she's like silly, hunky-dory, but there's pearls of wisdom in there.
She's shrewd.
Yes. So that's
okay,
the TV
well, my AirPods are going to die. So okay. That's that on that.
Okay. Well, did you want to talk about Siesta?
I need full AirPods for it.
Okay, we'll recap it tomorrow.
Or I guess I could like keep talking until my AirPods run out.
Okay, go. You just go because I haven't. Well, I'm so behind. So you catch me.
Okay. So I just watched the last two episodes, season finale, the launch of JMP, the label, and then they had a reunion, like a housewives style reunion.
Oh, Rachel Lindsay.
Yeah. So in general, I like the fact that there was a reunion. It was nice to see the gang back together, like talking in real time. But I thought that the format like wasn't great, and the questions like they were treating it more like therapy than a reunion.
Yeah,
and everything was like, and how did that make you feel? And where do you feel now? And it was just like the questions were a little random, but we got to, you know, they asked about the big stuff. So Kelsey and Juliet, like, still not friends, but I think they're like on their way to something better. Sam and Juliet were like fine at the reunion. She walked off for a second because she was like really emotional, and he went with her, and like she was like, I'm gonna quit the show. And she said at one point, she was like, she said something really interesting that of course like nobody followed up on, but she was like, when they were talking about when she hit Kelsey and like how she got to that place, whatever, she was just like crying. She got really upset. She's like, it's so hard to be on a TV show. And I'm sure like everyone was playing tiny violins for her. She was like, it's so hard being on a TV show, and sometimes I can't say no. And I was just thinking, like, say no to what? Mm-hmm. And I feel like she's talking about alcohol in addition to, like, producer involvement.
And, like,
but
pressure.
I really feel like, yeah. And, of course, no one wants to blame their behavior on being drunk. But, like, mm-hmm. she was so drunk that night. And I don't know. I just, if I ever got a chance to speak with her, I would definitely follow up on
like,
what
push
she's
on
not
that
able
point.
To say. Yeah, and then, like, she got really upset after that and walked off and was like, I want to quit this show. And I really think, like, the show, it's such a blessing and a curse for everyone who does mm-hmm. reality TV. But, like, it must be such a mindfuck.
Especially when it's one of these shows, like, kind of like Vanderpump Rules. It's, like, so, drinking is such an integral part of it. And, like, you're really not interesting unless you're, like, getting fucked up and doing something crazy.
Yeah. Other notable highlights, Kara was there looking so sick. I mean, everybody looked so stunning, but Kara, I followed her on Instagram last night. Wow. Because, like, the look was that good. And I was like, I've got to see what else she churns out mm-hmm. on the daily, you know? And she's just, like, so, she's such a good head on her shoulders. And, like, she's back in with the group now, which I'm happy about. So I'm looking forward to, like, a season where she can just be herself and not be apologizing the whole time. And it's just, like, crazy that she used to date Garrett, who's, like, I couldn't such think a of weenie. Two more opposite. I couldn't think of two more opposite people.
I feel
What else happened? Madison and Ish are pregnant, which we had spoke about, which is really, really cute.
It's crazy. Like, the turn Madison's life took is just not what I would have expected at all.
No, I know. But she's really, like, such a queen. And she's, like, always the one who's, like, always friends with everyone and just the voice of reason. And she's really great. So
is she pregnant on the show or no?
So at the season finale, the last 5 minutes, like, she brings Ish a cake that says we're pregnant. But I think that was filmed, like, months after everything else. And then she told them, she brought up at the reunion, and, like, everyone was so excited.
She told them for the first time at the reunion?
Unclear.
Got it.
They made it seem like it was the first time. It definitely wasn't.
Well, you know what? I just feel good that, like, this was the first season without Alex Campo. And I think everyone thought, like, the show revolved around him when, like, it so did not.
Yeah. And so I just, like, really right now I'm thinking of Sam and Juliet, and I just need to know what happened. So if anybody knows anything, just, like, please let me know for, like, my own peace of mind. Yeah. Is this for the best? Maybe it's for the best, and I can live with that. But I just feel like he was so cute. He was always so supportive. Oh, my God. Juliet had her bikini launch party, and she gave a speech, and Sam put on the whole party, like, with all of these cool activations and everything. And she gave, like, the worst speech ever where she cringily congratulated Kelsey. They were, like, not speaking. They were in a bad place. And Julia was, like, so excited to launch her label. She's like, I also, like, I know how hard it is to launch a bikini brand. Like, Kelsey, like, just want to congratulate you too for doing it. Like, you know, and I believe her heart was in the right place, but, like, Kelsey was, like, really, like, offended by it, because, like, she barely wanted to be, like, seen at the party. She was just, like, trying to, like, slip into the background. And then, like, Madison was like, look around, like, look what you built, and, like, you're it feels like you're, like, you, like, I think Juliet thought she was being magnanimous, but it just looked like she was sort of gloating.
Yeah.
You know? And then in her speech, she didn't even thank Sam, who put on the whole party.
Oh, God.
And then afterwards, she was like, oh, my God, Sam, I forgot to thank you. Like, I thank you so much. And he was like, I don't do it for thanks. It's okay. And they were so cute. And I was just like, how are they not together?
Maybe they'll get back together. I don't know. Like, crazier things have happened. It's not a divorce.
Crazier things have happened. But, like, they've been a little messy on social media, and I do feel like that's...
terrible sign.
You can't take it back is the problem.
Yeah. Well, so thanks for keeping us in the loop.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you guys for listening to The Morning Toast, the 1 a.m. morning show where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where we listen to podcasts. Find us The Morning Toast, leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. And if you're still here, welcome to The Society Season 2. Please drop a magnifying glass on our most recent Instagram to honor the investigative work that Sutton has done on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And we love you guys. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, goodbye.